The University of Kansas Health System is proud to be the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Current. From youth athletes to the pros, we put player care first to turn their dreams into reality. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/kccurrent.
You are listening live to the program. Your teams, your town, your program.
Here's the pitch. Fastball chopped slowly to third. Tough play. Garcia charges. Bare hands. Can't come up with it. He can't hold on. The Mets take the lead. Alonso scores from third, and it's 1-0 New York. McNeil goes to third. Beatty to second. An infield hit for Harrison Bader. And the Mets lead it 1-0 here in the bottom of the eighth inning.
Scotty Scheffler putter back and in. Scotty, he's done it again. Scotty Scheffler, for the second time in 3 years, is the Masters champion.
We have the greatest of the great as far as GM and head coach and the staffs that they've built. And so I know they're going to get great players in here. I'll give my input, but I trust that they're going to do the work to get the great players in. And you've seen our team. It seems like we get younger and younger every single year. That comes from drafting.
Let's go next to Todd Palmer. Sorry, Todd Weaver. Wrong Todd.
Too many Todds.
And now, a man who's never heard the phrase, not enough Sorens, Soren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro in the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you for joining us here on a, it's a nice, you know, it's not sunny.
No.
But good temperature.
Temperate, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm pleased.
I'm not going to whine.
No.
You know?
Like
Adam's
it.
Whining, but not me. It's what he does, you know? Chronic whiner. Man can't take a joke. Hey, I'm going to run to my car. Whoa, guess we're going to be late.
I figured it was a joke, and then I was like, wait a minute. Is it a joke?
You know, if I wanted a joke, never mind. I'd have Curtis do something, but, you know, it's probably not best to start the week that way. You know what I mean? You okay?
Suddenly, I can't hear anything in my headphones.
I don't either, but maybe that's just me. Is this thing on?
We're on. I don't know why you can't hear anything.
Test, 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 test.
I can hear you guys, no problem.
I heard myself until I threw
Call
it to
Drake.
You. And suddenly.
There he is.
Suddenly
yeah.
We.
Okay. I'm going to keep talking
was
like we're on.
Yes, I would too. I heard myself for a while, and then suddenly I didn't.
My assumption is we may not.
I can confirm we're on.
I think we'd.
You're on.
Drake says we're on, but for some reason we can't.
All right. Well, we've got a lot to get to here today in the program as as he comes over and just starts pressing buttons. He was going to do the one button pressing, you idiots. No, Piers, it's more.
Is it something?
We didn't do anything.
More significant than that.
I blame Anderson, dumbass. Sabotaged it before he left. You need these to listen? Okay.
There are parts of our show we can do without headphones, but there are parts we probably can't.
The drill will be tough.
Drill will be very tough.
Teicher's going to be bummed out when we go, you got to get in here.
Mm-hmm. In and out of commercials could be a problem.
Yeah. So, you know.
I'm glad it happened 30 seconds into our show. That's always fun.
No one cares how you make the sausage, Curtis. Just start stuffing those hooves in the bag.
Yes. Yum.
Grind the lips.
Yum. Sausage.
Let's go. Adam Teicher coming up in the three. We'll talk about today's press conference. First time to talk with Andy Reid about Rashee Rice. And, man, how about how open he was?
Yeah, well, I really can't say too much.
I didn't know he was going to spill the beans like that, but sure enough.
I can't really talk about that.
No, we didn't get much.
No.
Did not get much.
Didn't expect to get much, and we were not disappointed.
No. 2 minute drill. We'll head around the country, stopping off in New York, Salt Lake, Minneapolis, Denver, all your favorite stops.
Those are my top four cities. I mean, if I had to say, if I had to go four places before I died, it would be those four cities.
David Leske talking baseball. We're going to start with some baseball here in a second.
I am finally hearing myself again.
Sporting kid. Well, I was just going to say, did the mic pick up the long exhale from Drake as he left?
I don't know.
He got up and was like, oh. Is it working?
I'm hearing myself, yes. It's the levels aren't great, but I think we're back to normal.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. I don't hear me, so.
You don't?
Maybe a little bit.
A little bit.
Distant.
A little bit.
I hear you more than I hear me, but.
Maybe you can, now that we're in, you can adjust with that.
It's only radio.
It's just radio.
Why is the sound important?
It's just radio. Radio.
Let's start with the boys in blue.
Let's do.
Drop 2 of 3 to the Mets. It's all over.
Season's over. That's 100
losses. They suck.
Here it comes.
Let's go. Batten down the hatches and prepare for the Arctic winter. That was the mindset of some. It, however, is not our mindset.
No. No.
You know,
I don't see that as the mindset at all. Because it's... They were going to have a bit of a regression. I mean, they were playing 650 ball. They were in the top 10 or top 5 in ERA. They were in the top 10 in every slash category. Top 5. I mean, they were going to pull back a little bit. That's just regression to the mean. They went on the road and were not in the first game. And then they came back and made a nice comeback and won game 2. And they were nothing in the 8th inning of game 3. I don't think that was a bad series. That was, as the guy who was just sitting in one of these chairs about 10 minutes ago would say, that's baseball happens. And
yeah.
Baseball happened. And
I'll say this. At least
they're blooping a blast away from being right there and going to extras in a potential series winning game. So I didn't look at last week as being this weekend as really being an issue at this
right.
time. Look, teams far better than the Royals have much more championship pedigree have had a series like they had in New York. I don't think it's a reason to worry. And I don't think if they're falling back to the pack a little bit, if that was what that was, that they necessarily didn't deserve the status that they had before this series. We're 16 games. We're one-tenth of the way through. You know, I think things are okay. I don't think this weekend was.
Why not? I mean, listen. If it's gonna, what was it 2 years ago? What was the high water mark? Did we say was it 16-8?
I think so. Or 3 years
16
ago.
16 and
3 10? Years ago or
10, 2 years
ago.
21. Yeah, 21.
So 3 years ago.
So 21.
Yeah.
You know, it there was a problem.
Yes.
You didn't realize it early on. So if somebody wanted to, if you want to call your shot, and right now be like, this team sucks. I said it would suck, and this is just a fluky start of the year where the Astros were down and the White Sox are crappy, and you know they put together some right combinations of runs. Okay, call your shot. You want to say this team is? We'll do a pulse check at the 1/10 poll. What is this team? Right, at 10-6 right now, 4 games over .500. If you want to be like, listen, they're not going to be anywhere near .500. I'll listen. And there is a bit of precedent. So, like, I think everything's on the table right now.
But I want to hear why that is, not just, well, because they haven't been. Tell me what has been working that you don't think will continue to work. And that answer might be Michael Wacha. It might be Alec Marsh. It might be one of those two guys. It might be the lineup now that may be without Salvador Perez for an extended period of time. But there are reasons to think that there, even if there's a bit of a pullback, there are reasons to believe that they'll at least continue to be around a .500 team for the foreseeable future of this season. Because I do think the pitching is better, and I do think they've got some guys, and now particularly on that Pasquantino at least is showing some signs that he's pulling out. I mean, he only had just the one bomb yesterday. Somebody just run into one.
I'll object. I mean, so right now. What are you thinking record-wise for them?
I think this is looking like around 500 team, a 77 to 82, 83 win team is what I think I see. Maybe 75, 76. But
if somebody says that this isn't real, you would be on the this isn't real. Because this is real means above 500. So you can't look at this and be like, it's real. I don't know why somebody would say it's not real and then be like, I got him for like 74 wins.
I see what you're saying. But I think there are some people that looked at maybe looked at what happened before this series and went, that was all fraudulent. They're falling back to where they were, close to where they were.
All right, let me define it this way.
Okay.
They're one game out. Mm-hmm. They're playing 625 baseball. No one thinks they're going to play 625 baseball. Agreed?
Yeah.
All right. So we're all in agreement on that. But what I would say this team is, what they look like right now is a contender that's going to be above 500. Are you in on that?
I'm pretty close to that. I think what maybe my point was before when I said I don't think this weekend series changed. If they won two of three, I'd still think they're probably going to pull back a little bit because you're going to regress to the mean. This team wasn't going to play 640 ball the rest of the year. So I guess my point would be that my idea of what this team will be was not greatly impacted by what happened in New York. Maybe that's more a better point.
Okay. So now I'm asking you.
Yeah.
Are they an above 500 team that's going to contend all year?
I think they're going. I'll say yes. I think they're going to contend. Then they may be contending from around 500. There may be some times when they're below, but because I think this division still might play back down a ways. But I don't think they're an 88 win team. But I think they could be an 82 or 83 win team and at least contend for a while.
So that would say, by the slimmest of margins, you're now willing to say yes, they're a contender.
Yes, I think they're
by the slimmest of margins. 82 wins.
Yeah.
That's like, well, they're three and a half back going into, they're one over and three and a half back of the Twins, you know, going into September with 27 games to play, and if they finish eight out and 82 wins, yes, you predicted accurately.
Yeah.
But do you see, have we removed enough of the ifs? Right? You brought up Vinny Pascantino. He's starting to hit.
A little.
I mean, kind of a lot for a series or so.
Big day Wednesday and Thursday. And
yeah.
It went another out homer. Yesterday.
Yeah. I also like him showing the ball to the Mets dugout, which we can get to in a minute. I thought that was like, there was some red ass there with the Royals, which he's such a nice guy. You know, you wonder, like, can they be mean? Can they be tough?
Yeah.
Can they go for the jugular? Can they stand up to the bullies? And I thought we were about a play, and they didn't really talk about it on the broadcast, but I thought we were a play or two away from maybe some barking and some benches coming out. If Vinny Pascantino caught a fly ball and put it right in the face of the dugout, I mean, that was, to me, somebody was like, oh, don't drop it, dope. Or, you know, there was some kind of something that was said there.
Mm-hmm.
That he's like, because I haven't seen him do that before, have you?
Nope.
And he had to reach his arm out, and it was kind of one of those awkward running in, sun, everything, and he catches it not above his head. He had to go low to get it. So it was a bit of an adventure. And then he showed it to him and looked at him. And then if it was it, who was coming off the mound? Anyway, he was looking back and yelled at Pascantino, but Pascantino went on by, and he kept looking that direction back towards the dugout. So there was some red ass going on in between, you know, at least pitcher, first base, and the Mets. And I like that.
I do, too.
That shows some fire.
Too.
You don't do that if you're like, well, we're just this crappy 56-win team, and we suck, and we know it. Like, there's like, oh, yeah, we're in a tie game with the $200 million nearly payroll Mets. Probably is over 200 if you count how much they're paying of Verlander and Scherzer.
You're right.
You know, we're in a game for the rubber match of a three-game series in New York, and we ain't taking no crap.
Yeah.
I like that.
I do, too.
And you don't do that unless you believe. So I think in that clubhouse they believe. But they believe in what they've got right now. And my question is, as we saw Salvador Perez go down, which I'll get to in a minute. Apparently, I'm the only guy who's got the red ass on that one. But, you know, I understand why they believe right now. But 80 games from now, are they going to be believing if Michael Garcia is not playing third and Vinny Pascantino's not playing first and Michael Wacha's on the IR? And Alec Marsh has been sent to the minors, and Cole Reagans is going to get a start skip because his elbow's barking at him. Are they going to have that kind of confidence? Do you have that kind of confidence if those things have happened? Because I don't.
No.
Because that's the thing. I get the confidence that's there. They haven't made a move yet still, correct? I don't think they've made even a move yet.
Not to my knowledge.
And it's only 16 games. Right, trust me, this is not a league record. But it's still good because teams are having to make moves. You see all the arm injuries and everything. They're going to have injuries. And that's when we'll really get to know what they're going to be for 162 games. And listen, they may lead a charmed life. You know what they've got going for them? Youth. You know, gets hurt.
Sure.
To Jeff's point, Jeff Passett always makes, you want to know what the biggest precursor to an arm injury is? A previous arm injury. Okay, you know what else is a precursor to a guy being hurt? Old. Lots of birthdays. Young guys stay healthier. And they're a young team, so they should be healthier than some of the more expensive clubs, because you can't get to be expensive as a player until you've put a lot of games, you know, on the back of your baseball card. You know, they're probably not going to have as many injuries as some of the older clubs, but they will have injuries. And that's still the question. So I'm not trying to rain on the parade. I'm with you 100%. If you're down on this team because they lost 2 or 3 to the Mets, get over it. Baseball, that was a baseball series. And in the rubber game, they didn't quite make the plays, right? Pitcher walked the eighth inning full of Mets and walked one in. Michael Garcia had a chance to make a great play, couldn't come up with it. Would have been a great play. Coming in on the dead run and trying to bare hand one and throw it to first is not in a, you know,
Mike
when you're
Schmidt
supposed
play.
To. Yeah. But they also, you know, if not for a perfect throw from their catcher in left field, who may very soon we may be saying is the left fielder, because that was a hell of a throw. MJ Melendez comes up gunning, guns down a runner at the plate. You know, that kept them in the game, otherwise they're down 1-0. You know, as much as you can be like, well, they should have won the game. Well, the Mets can look at themselves in the mirror and be like, we could have made this 4-0.
The Royals had 2 hits through 8.
Yeah. But their pitching speaks to the fact that you can have 2 hits through 8 and be in the game.
Yes. I mean, I think it's more likely. Cole Reagans has a line that doesn't make sense through 4 starts to have a 1.93 ERA and be 0-1. Now, one of those things is likely to change. Because they're not linked up. I think it's much more likely he's going to start getting wins than it is that his ERA is going to balloon and he's a sub-500 pitcher.
What's a stronger indicator of future performance, wins and losses or run differential?
I think it's run differential.
Who has the best run differential in baseball? If you look at your computer, I'll slap the taste right out of your mouth.
Royals had a nice tasty lead after Thursday. I would guess that. They probably still are first or second.
They are still first by 2 runs over the Cleveland Guardians.
Yes, that's who they overtook when they rolled the Astros on Thursday.
Plus 37 to plus 35. It's a little bit early to hang your hat on anything, but that's a good sign.
Yeah.
If they're healthy. And for the first time, they're not healthy. Salvador Perez gets hurt in the game. And let me wrap up, and we open up the phone lines at 913-3810-810. Royals, Sporting, Chiefs, always a topic here in the program. K-State, Missouri, KU, 913-3810-810. And we'll get to some Chiefs in a little bit. But let me say this. Why am I missing something? When Buster Posey got hurt, they came up with a new rule. 2-time MVP gets freight trained at the plate. Well, no more running over the catchers. We can't be losing stars. Now, is Buster Posey going to go down as a better catcher than Salvador Perez in his career? He is. He won 3 World Series. He won an MVP. I think he won World Series MVPs. At least one, didn't he?
Might have.
I have to look it up. But Salvador Perez has been lots of all-stars, gold gloves, is a World Series MVP. You know, he's a star. He may not be the analytics darling. He may not end up in the Hall of Fame because his on-base percentage isn't good enough, but he's a freaking star. And they came up with a rule that the catcher can no longer block the plate and the runner can't run into the catcher. And I called some people around baseball. I said, did you see the play? They said, I saw the play. We think it was just a good baseball slide. Okay, they're in the game. I defer to them. To which I would say, that's great. they also think you can't steal bases when you're up four. And, you know, it's like, oh, you know, got to buzz the tower if this happens. And it's okay to hit a guy, you know, all the baseball deal. I'm not okay with that play. Buster Posey was the reason this rule came about, is that you cannot run over the catcher. And I was interested in, I don't know where, and I did not have a chance to reach out to Ryan today, but I'm always interested in what Ryan's reaction is, because he's such a great barometer and great, you know, shepherd of the game. And I was like, well, hang on a sec. He comes around, he's coming down, Marte's coming down the baseline. And as he, in my opinion, realizes that Salvador is going to catch the ball, and he's like, oh, crap, I'm out. He veers inside the baseline. Salvador Perez is set up inside the baseline, close to it. He's not 4 feet out in front of it, but he's close to it. But he's definitely inside it. And Marte goes, it is Marte, right?
Yes, Starling Marte.
Okay. Marte comes inside the baseline. Granted, does not go cleats up. That's one of the things that was said to me. It was like to be, hey, didn't come in, spikes up.
His cleats were the only thing that weren't inside the baseline. The rest of his entire body, his knees, everything else that ran to Salvador Perez was all inside the baseline.
And he gets Salvador on the inside of the left thigh and basically, you know, forced him to do the splits more than he clearly wanted to.
Yeah.
And injures him.
Pushed that left knee back and pulled his legs apart like a...
And there was, and I can't remember if it was Ryan or...
Hud,
that said, well, it looks like there was, I think it was Ryan who said later, and to me, I got the vibe, and that's where I really got going, okay, Ryan's thinking of this, he's seeing the same thing I am. Like, there was a lane to go wide. And actually, even in Ryan Dipwood said, looks like he could have gone wide and try a slap tag on the plate as he's going by. And so... You think it was Hud?
No. I was just going to say,
credit to the booth, because they brought that up.
And I didn't watch the game, but after we talked about this, shocking to our listeners, we were up at, 5 a.m. with our daily meeting, we went over this, and so I watched the play that you're referencing, and my first thought was, Marte, I think, would have been easier on him to score had he gone further out than he did.
That's the only way he can score on that play.
My first thought was he didn't even make the best scoring play.
But the rule doesn't go out the window because he's a dunce, does it?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the rule is still the rule. You're not supposed to go into the catcher.
Well, and my thought about it would have been easier for him to score if you went outside. To me, that lends he was doing it something on purpose, because the smarter move would have been going outside. He was like sacrificing the better opportunity to run to plow into Salvi. That was my thought.
Agree. And I think you're 100% correct.
That's a good point.
Part of the reason why Marte's kind of been Marte. But so, and I listen, I don't want to get into a discussion about back in the day. I agree. I think you should be able to block the plate and freight train him if he does. And you know what? If you're Salvador Perez or Buster Posey, it's like Patrick Mahomes. Nobody thinks Patrick Mahomes is a bitch because he slides. They go, oh, there's the franchise. Get out. Get out.
They want him to.
Well, if you are, you know, Martin Maldonado, get in front of the dish. Because this is how you're going to get us a run. Because it ain't going to be with that soggy-ass bat you drag to the plate.
Right.
It's going to be because you are our biggest... all get out, and you're going to block the plate, and you're going to save us a run. If you're Salvador Perez and you hit bombs, you're Buster Posey and you win MVPs, then you step up in front of the dish and you go for the swipe tag. So, listen, I don't want to get into the discussion of what baseball used to be. I think you should be able to block the plate, and I think the culture of baseball should be like, no, Johnny Bench, Gary Carter, you know, Carlton Fisk, Daryl Porter, Salvador Perez, you guys get in front and swipe tag. And we all respect it because you can hit. But those of you that don't even have a bat with your name on it, get in the baseline. But we don't have that. The rule is laid out there for all catchers to be protected. Marte should be suspended today. That's what I think. If Salvador Perez goes on the DL, he should be suspended. Now, it's not going to happen because, near as I can tell, I'm the only one that seems to have a thing about this. Literally the only one. I brought it up to some people, and they're like, huh. Hadn't even noticed it. Hadn't even thought about it. I'm like,
you may want to go think about it.
Well, I mean, or we brought up this rule, yeah, and we're not going to call it for years, and then one day it's going to get hatched in a big game or a big series, or God forbid, a Yankee Red Sox game on Sunday Night Baseball, and the world's going to lose their mind. But he went inside the baseline on a catcher that was inside and ran right into him.
What's the rule exist?
Well, but he slid. I don't care. He could have slid on the outside.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. How about this? You can't call that point in the game.
Yes. Actually, it was
to harken back.
Well, he was already out.
To harken back to the tournament.
Well, yeah, that's what I wonder. Had the ball rolled away from Perez, would they have been like, no, he's out. He went into the catcher. Out.
Yeah.
And maybe I get the satisfaction. And maybe I need to read the rule, because, granted, I've been thinking about this all day, didn't bother to read the rule. Maybe it says something about, like, only if the out isn't made. But, like, that defeats the whole purpose. The purpose was to protect the catchers. Yes. The star catchers. Both of them, which, by the way, again, why I think the rule's kind of dumb. And I never liked the rule when it was there. But if we're going to have it, then let's call it.
Yep.
But, like, why would you have the rules? Well, they got the out anyway. Yeah, but he's dead.
Right.
It's a 27-year-old four-time All-Star who's dead. Yeah, but he got the out.
That's true. Which...
Well, I mean, like, what are we doing here? So that irked me. It irritated me.
With you.
But apparently I'm the only one that irritated. So, you know, I guess I'm edgy. 913-310-810, 913-310-810. We'll take your phone calls. Sit back, relax. If you don't want to call, that's okay. But we always like to know, let you listeners know you're a part of the program. We love you. You can be a part of it. Grab a phone line, 913-310-810. Like I said, coming up, Adam Teicher, talking about today's press conferences as the Chiefs get phase one going.
Ooh, phase one.
They're throwing balls at Pat's house.
Mm-hmm. Camp Patrick.
They're zooming and having a catch.
Who's zooming who?
Stop celebrating that championship. It's on to new business. We'll get into that. Sporting Kansas City dropping one to Lionel Messi in front of 70,000 at Arrowhead. Big doings on that as well. 913-310-810. You're in the program. 913-310-810. The phone number. You're in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Petro, Siebel, Dravetta. Thanks for joining us here on a cloudy but still nice and warm spring day. Yeah, Mets take 2 out of 3, but it's settle down. Settle down. They're all right.
Yeah. I mean, you could argue there were almost as many positives. To come from where they were at the beginning of the game on Saturday, you just lost the night before. You're down in the early stages in game two. It's like, are the wheels going to come off? It was a lineup that was clearly designed just to go at Sean Manaea with some bats, good left-handed bats that weren't in it. And they just suddenly blew up. And you're like, all right, that's a good win. That was a damn good win on Saturday. And they were nothing into the eighth on Sunday. I wholeheartedly reject any notion that what happened in New York was a step back at all.
913-310-810. Let's go to the phones. Gary wants to lead us off today. You're in the program, Gary. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to kind of make an additional point in defense of your argument in regards to Marte. One of the replays they showed after the play happened, if you watch Francisco Alvarez, who was on deck when the play happened, he's directing Marte to slide inside, too. Like, as you see plays like that happen in baseball, and usually the guy that's on deck will get in the line of sight of the runner coming down the third base line and tell him, where to the best position to fly.
I had not noticed that, but as a guy who has Francisco Cordero on his fantasy team, it sounds par for the course, because his ass doesn't know what a strike is when he's holding the bat, that's for sure. So why would he know where the ball is actually coming in when he's looking at a throw from the outfield?
Right, yeah, and it was just frustrating because obviously he's their catcher too, and I'm just like, what, it seemed like he directed Marte right into Salvador Perez, and when to your guys' point, when he had a relatively open outside played back in, just, you know, just like Curtis said, he had a much better chance to be in save at that. And then, you know, like I said, Alvarez, you know, directed him almost right into Salvi, which is like, you know, which is frustrating to watch.
So yeah.
It was the point I wanted to make when I saw the replay.
Yeah.
So.
No, it's a good one. Thank you for the call, Gary. I appreciate it. And like I said, for being a catcher, you think he'd have a working idea of the strike zone, but he doesn't. He can't read a pitch out of the pitcher's hand, so why would he be able to read a throw from the outfield, I guess? Because, yeah, that was foolishness. Like, you saw where Salvi was setting up. I don't know. Yeah, frustrating.
Yeah, it was just, nothing made sense about that.
Paul, you're in the program. What's up, Paul?
Hey, what's up, Saran? Appreciate the opportunity, man.
You bet. Thanks.
I had an opportunity to watch the game live, checked out the play a couple more times today. To me, I don't really see a big issue with it. You know, I feel like he got down a little bit before the play. I didn't feel like he was too inside the line. I mean, could he have gone a little bit more outside, perhaps? But I just, to me, I didn't really see anything malicious or dirty with it.
Listen, I don't think it's the worst slide ever. I don't think you should be thrown out of baseball. But, like, if you have a rule that says you can't run into the catcher when he sets up inside the plate. Let me ask you this. Did he run into the catcher?
I would say there was a slide into the catcher. I would agree with that.
Well, then let's go. You know, like, what's, like, you know, like the Eagles DB 2 years ago in the Super Bowl. Wait a minute. Did he grab and hold the jersey? Well, yeah. Well, okay. Then what are we talking about? Right,
yeah,
like, you
no,
know,
no. What, I like, did, the, I like
did,
the argument.
The no, and I'm not getting on you, Paul. I'm just saying, people in general, like, just the game in general. It's like, you know, what's her name for UConn? Did she move her feet while setting a screen? And did she bring her elbow up? And did she lean out into the girl? Yes. Well, then that's a foul. Yeah. So what the hell are we crying about? Like, I mean, you know, well, this one. This is a foul. It wasn't called.
Right. And as Adam noted, this wasn't even in that time of game. It was in the fourth inning.
Yeah.
There's no reason not to call what's a rule.
Yeah, so listen, I'm with you, Paul, and I think it's an important distinction to make, and I probably didn't make it if you felt compelled to call, and so I'm glad you did, and thank you. No, I'm not. Listen, it was not a dirty play. And like I said, the people I talked to, like, the spikes were down. That was their big thing.
Yeah.
And yes, he's sliding. He is not coming in forearm to chin and taking him out. But again, okay, so it's what it's. So that's okay. As long as we're going to call it that way, here and forever. Well, if you slide, okay. Well, okay, so if I wait 3 more feet to slide, and I haven't hit the ground, and my knee hits him before I even hit the ground. Well, I'm sliding.
Yes.
Like, to me, if...
Either you can or you can't.
To me, the only way you can have this rule, which, again, let me just state, first and foremost, hate the rule. Hate the rule. Right? But it's a rule. The only way to be able to administer it, if you're an umpire, is the catcher inside the lines? Yes. Then he can't be touched. Or it needs to be inconsequential contact. Oh, they kind of bumped a little bit coming by. You know, yes, Pete Alonso's kind of a fat ass and got him a little bit with the hip. You know, like, okay. Right? But I just, you know, is it the biggest thing in the world? No. Would I be talking about if Salvador popped up and caught the rest of the game? Probably not. But he didn't. He limped off the field. Am I pissed because I know my team's got a pretty good front line and thin as all get out? Yes. Yes, it's part of my frustration because I root for the Royals, and I know, well, actually, this is one of the spots where I think they can actually, Freddie Fermin can pick up the catching, and I think they've got some other bats to give them a lot of what Salvi does, but they lose depth.
Yeah, but they would have had those on top of Perez.
Yeah, and was that the difference? Salvi's the king of clutch. Would he have come through with a solo home run and Royals take this 3-2? Maybe. Do I think the Royals are going to run away with this division by 8 games? No. Do I think if they win the division, it's going to be by a game or two? Yes. So, yeah, no doubt. A big part of my frustration and making a big deal out of this is because of the team I root for. But I do come back to, but it's a rule. And that's always the situation that brings these things up.
And you underline one of the problems with that is, that, well, if he slides here, if it's both legs, if it's this, if someone were to respond to that and say, well, it's really hard to adjudicate that part, then don't have the rule. If you can't adjudicate properly a rule, it shouldn't be there.
I'm going to stop short of saying anybody should have done what I'm about to say. Right? I have liked what I saw. Matt Quatrero barked at somebody early in the game about something, and I don't know what it was. Right? But he had a moment where he seemed to be jawing out towards the umpire. And he is such a laid-back, first of all, kind person, thoughtful person. I see him entertain every question, even bad ones, where he tries to find some good in a bad question and bail out the guy. And I, listen, sometimes I appreciate, sometimes I'm like, let that clown burn. Let's get on to the good questions, please. But God bless him. But I have said, he's not your typical manager. And when I saw that little bit of fire, I liked it. But I was a little bit like, you know, I'm going to tell you, there, Lou Piniella would, and I loved Lou Piniella as a manager, would find a reason to come give somebody some crap and say, hey, we're fighting for you. There's a great moment where the camera's caught. I think he was managing the Rays, and Ben Grieve, you know, took a call, third strike, and then turned around and walked off. And Piniella goes, what the hell was that? He goes, well, it was a ball. He goes, and you just turned around and walked away? And he's like, well, he goes, we're fighting to win a ball game here. Like, you gotta say something. You gotta do something. Like, he took that moment to say, look,
I remember that
guy, because Ben Grieve was, he was a GM's kid,
yeah,
or a Major League Baseball front office kid who always knew he was going to play baseball. Got there, and I don't think winning ever mattered to him. And Lou Piniella was trying to say, this matters. I don't want to say that Matt Quatrero should have, but I think there was an opportunity there for, whether you fully agree with what I'm saying or not, to go let it be known in New York City, in the town that the Major League Baseball offices are, that, listen, sons of bees, we're here to play. We ain't going anywhere. And you come in at my guy, I'm coming at you. I'm going to get after somebody. You know, like, there's nothing worse. The whole era of David Glass being the loyal soldier and not paying anybody in the draft, not spending over slot, not splashing money around, you know, Latin America, got this organization in this city nothing. Nothing. So let's be clear. Mike Moustakas was a red asset to tell you you're in the wrong spot in spring training. And I always respected that. He's kind of a child sometimes, but when it's time to go, he was ready to go. Yordano Ventura will put a baseball up your rear end for the wrong reasons, but he'd put one there, and you got to have a little bit of that.
I will never forget, in 2012, a team that did not turn out to be going anywhere, but still had all those young guys, Moose, Hosmer, etc., and it was early in the year, and they were on a road trip in Cleveland, and they got hot, and they got pissed, and right in the middle of everything was Mike Moustakas. And I remember thinking, and it was kind of a real fight. It wasn't these let's just stand around and stare at each other. They actually got some action in. And I remember watching that and going, I don't know if Moose is going to turn out to be the prospect they think he is, but God, I love him.
He was born a Red A. He was probably a Red A in kindergarten.
Oh, yeah, trust me.
The Moustakas child is a little, bit of a rascal.
Yeah, but
he's perfect for that.
You know, 162 games, a lot of them played at 98 degrees in an armpit. You know, I mean, you got to have a little bit of that. I just thought there was maybe a little bit of opportunity there. 913-810-810, the phone number, 913-810-810. More of your phone calls next here in the program. You listen to the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you for joining us. 913-810-810, the phone number. I want to get as many people in here as we can. Let's talk to a Ted. You're on the program. Ted, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Saran, thanks for taking the call. I'm looking forward to talking baseball with you this summer. It's great to have some action, you know. I wanted to talk about Rasheed Rice. Am I the only one? Everybody's saying that two game suspension, four game. He's going to get, there's a suspension coming, maybe six at the worst. I think, you know, kids race and they speed and do all that. But I think what he did by walking away was worse. And is that what we've come to as a society, that you're going to endanger people, you could hurt somebody? You might as well walk down the street and pick a random house and light it on fire. And maybe there's people in there, maybe there's not. There could have been somebody there that needed to get out. A car could have been on fire, whatever. I mean, did the NFL not? I love Rashee Rice as a football player, but didn't they suspend Calvin Ridley a year for gambling?
Yeah, and that's a big one. That's a whole different ball of wax. It's certainly much less of a victim crime, but it runs at the – if people think the game is scripted – now, listen, not many still think wrestling is real, and it doesn't hurt for ratings. But sports, competitive sports – I would lose a lot if everybody thought the whole thing was on the take.
I understand that part.
So it's for a different reason. It's a serious crime within the sport, even though it's not a crime to society.
I just think what he did by walking away. We know what was left in the vehicle. We have no idea. We can all imagine why they left and what they had on them, or why, or if they were impaired or what have. But I think... I just think what they did by walking away was horrendous.
I'm with you, Ted. And you know, I've heard some people I trust and respect, and thank you for the call as always, buddy, you know, say, well, you know, there's no jail time. And I'm like, really? I mean, what the hell do you have to do to go to jail now? I guess, you know.
Not have money.
Sold weed 2 years ago or something, or
right
in the wrong state. Like, if you don't go to the jail for this, I mean, and they might be right. I don't know, but I'm with you. It's not good.
All right, Jackie Robinson was the first black player to be named Rookie of the Year. Who was the second? Brought to you by Good Sense.